In the world of paranormal romance, few novels have captured readers' imaginations quite like Aurora Asher's My Demon Hunter. Since its release, this New York Times bestseller has developed a cult following, with celebrities like Megan Fox and Travis Barker citing it as their favorite supernatural romance. What makes this tale of forbidden love between a ruthless demon hunter and a reluctant witch so compelling? Perhaps it's the way Asher transforms the classic Beauty and Beast trope into something fresh and electrifying. The novel's TikTok hashtag has garnered over 50 million views, with readers particularly drawn to the primal possessiveness of its demon protagonist. It's not just another paranormal romance, notes literary critic Elena Michaels. It's a meditation on freedom, belonging, and finding love in the most unexpected places, even hell itself. In the darkest depths of hell, Miss Shetsam of Tai, known as Mist, has earned his reputation as the perfect hunter. For countless centuries, he has tracked and captured demons who attempt to escape hell's clutches, never once failing in his duty to Paimon, the terrifying queen of hell. With ashy gray skin, massive bat-like wings, and the ability to transform into black mist, he embodies the perfect predator, ruthless, efficient, and seemingly devoid of emotion. Yet beneath this cold exterior lies a demon with a forbidden secret. Years ago, Mist witnessed something that haunts him still, a demon and human woman living together in domestic bliss. This single moment of happiness, so alien to his existence of endless hunting and punishment, planted a dangerous seed of longing in his heart. It was his one failure, the one time he couldn't bring himself to capture his prey. When Paimon assigns Mist his most important mission yet, tracking four powerful rogue demons on Earth, he accepts without question. But these aren't ordinary targets. Asmodeus, Raum, Mephistopheles, and Belial are among Hell's most notorious demons, and they've been evading capture for reasons Mist doesn't yet understand. What makes this mission particularly dangerous isn't just the power of his quarry, but the stirring of his own suppressed desires. After centuries of blind obedience, Mist finds himself questioning his purpose. The magical brands burned into his skin, symbols of his enslavement to Paimon, seem to weigh heavier with each passing day. His growing resentment toward his mistress and his curiosity about the freedom his targets have claimed create a perfect storm of internal conflict. As Mist ventures to Earth, he makes a surprising discovery. Rather than hiding, the rogue demons have established lives among humans. Even more shocking, they offer him a deal. They'll teach him about human interaction in exchange for his silence about their whereabouts. Against all reason and duty, Mist accepts, taking his first tentative steps towards something he's never experienced before, choice. This decision marks the beginning of Mist's transformation. From a creature who existed solely to hunt and punish, he begins to explore simple human pleasures. The taste of popcorn, the comfort of conversation, the freedom to make decisions based on desire rather than command. With each small act of rebellion against his nature, the perfect hunter becomes something far more dangerous to Hell's hierarchy, a demon capable of wanting more than his assigned role. Mist's journey toward humanity begins with an unlikely errand, buying chocolate ice cream for a menstruating friend. Standing in a corner store, completely out of his element, the fearsome demon hunter finds himself confronting a challenge far more daunting than tracking Hell's most dangerous creatures, navigating human social interaction. It's here that fate intervenes, in the form of Lily Donovan, a curvy, self-conscious woman with a hidden magical heritage she's spent years denying. Their first meeting is awkwardly endearing. Mist, with his formal speech patterns and complete lack of social awareness, asks for help selecting ice cream for his menstruating female friend. Lily, charmed by his strange manner and unexpected kindness, finds herself drawn to this tall, tattooed stranger with mesmerizing amber eyes. Their brief encounter culminates in Mist offering Lily a carton of chocolate therapy ice cream and a piece of wisdom that reveals more about his character than he realizes. Human lives are short. It's better to leave your mark on the world by being full of contentment than full of longing. This statement, coming from a being who has known nothing but longing without fulfillment, shows the beginning of his emotional awakening. When they part ways, Mist makes his first truly human mistake, failing to understand that Lily wanted to exchange phone numbers. This miscommunication leaves him devastated when Eva, his demon friend's human girlfriend, explains what he missed. For perhaps the first time in his existence, Mist experiences regret, not tied to failing his mistress, but to missing a connection he genuinely desired. Meanwhile, Lily returns home to her quiet life, disappointed by the missed opportunity with the strange man who intrigued her. Her conversation with her sister Iris reveals important aspects of her character: her rejection of her family's witchcraft heritage, her protective nature toward her sister, and her determination to live a normal life despite her magical bloodline. This seemingly simple meeting sets the stage for everything that follows. Two beings, both outsiders in their own ways, Mist as a demon attempting to understand humanity, and Lily as a witch denying her true nature, find in each other the possibility of acceptance they've both been seeking. Their connection, beginning with something as mundane as ice cream, will ultimately challenge the very foundations of hell itself. As the burning brand on Mist's neck intensifies, a painful reminder of Paimon's control, he realizes his temporary freedom is coming to an end. Despite his growing fascination with human life, particularly with Lily, the magical bonds enslaving him to Hell's Queen cannot be ignored forever. The pain signals an ultimatum: return to Hell or face consequences far worse than physical agony. In a rare display of empathy, Mist's fellow rogue demons recognize his predicament. Mephistopheles, Mef, himself a victim of magical control in the past, insists they help Mist contact Lily before his time runs out. Though initially reluctant to involve her in his dangerous world, Mist eventually agrees to leave her a note with his phone number. What begins as a simple exchange of messages quickly evolves into something deeper. Their text conversation reveals both Mist's awkwardness with human conversations and Lily's willingness to embrace his strangeness. When he admits he was looking for any excuse to see her again, we see the first genuine expression of desire from a being who has spent centuries following others' commands. Their arrangement to meet for dinner at Lily's apartment represents more than a simple date. It's Mist's first truly autonomous choice, a decision made not from duty or fear, but from genuine want. For Lily, inviting this mysterious man into her home reflects her growing confidence and willingness to step outside her comfort zone. The dinner date itself becomes a turning point for both characters. Mist's inhuman behavior, sniffing her belongings, not recognizing common objects, should frighten Lily. Instead, his animalistic intensity awakens something within her. Their passionate encounter in the kitchen, with Mist growling, biting her neck, and showing feral desire, represents the beginning of Lily's acceptance of her own untamed nature. This pivotal moment is interrupted by Iris's arrival, bringing with her the truth Lily has been denying. The supernatural world is real and more dangerous than she imagined. When Iris's protection ward turns red, signaling a demon's presence, Lily is forced to confront the reality of who and what Mist truly is. The scene culminates in Mist's transformation before the sister's eyes, his skin turning ashy gray, his massive wings unfurling, his true demonic form revealed. Yet even in this moment of truth, he clutches the lily flower she gave him, a symbol of the connection he's unwilling to surrender despite his exposed identity. This revelation shatters the fragile normality Lily has constructed and thrusts her toward her true heritage. For Mist, it marks the beginning of an impossible choice between his growing feelings for Lily and the inescapable pull of his demonic bonds. The aftermath of Mist's revelation brings chaos and confrontation. Iris, armed with her witch's knowledge, immediately recognizes the danger a demon poses. Yet the tattooed demon who follows them, revealed to be Mephistopheles, presents a different perspective. Mist wasn't there to harm Lily, but for a genuine connection, something unprecedented in demonic history. This revelation forces Lily to question everything she thought she knew about demons. Are they all inherently evil, as Iris believes, or capable of choice and even goodness? This philosophical question becomes personal as Lily grapples with her feelings for Mist and the reality of his nature. Meanwhile, Mist faces his own crisis. His return to hell is imminent, the burning brands ensure that, but now he has something to lose. His growing attachment to Lily represents both his greatest vulnerability and his first taste of something worth fighting for. As Lily delves deeper into demonology research, she discovers Mist's true identity in an ancient compendium, the Hunter, a legendary tracker of hell, a greater demon of unknown power, ancient and deadly, but rarely glimpsed. The accompanying illustration depicts him as a monstrous gargoyle, nothing like the complex being she's coming to know. This knowledge, rather than frightening her away, strengthens her resolve. When she receives a threatening call from Mist's phone, revealed to be from Belial, another rogue demon, she learns Mist has returned to hell because he had no choice but to go or die. Despite Belial's mockery of her abilities and death threats, Lily refuses his offer of assistance in summoning Mist, determined to rescue him herself. Her decision to attempt a dangerous summoning spell without proper training demonstrates how far she's come from the woman who denied her magical heritage. For Mist, she's willing to embrace the very powers she spent years rejecting. Meanwhile, in Hell, Mist endures brutal torture from Paimon, who demands to know where he's been. Despite having his heart repeatedly stopped and his body chained, he refuses to betray Belial and the others. Protected by a blood contract that prevents him from revealing their location, he maintains his lie about hunting unsuccessfully. This parallel suffering, Lily embracing her feared magic while Mist endures torture, illustrates how their connection has already transformed them both. For her, he represents a reason to claim her power. For him, she represents something worth enduring pain to protect. In one of the novel's most harrowing sequences, Mist faces what should be his final punishment, being thrown into the pit to be devoured by Goreths, massive centipede-like monsters with circular mouths full of teeth and tentacle eyes. Even in this moment of despair, his warrior nature prevails as he manages to kill one monster by allowing himself to be swallowed and destroying its heart from within. Meanwhile, Lily attempts the complex summoning spell despite her inexperience. The ritual nearly fails when she mispronounces a syllable, causing the seal to rupture. The demonic Mist that materializes pursues her violently until recognition dawns. Lily? This moment of recognition, where Mist pulls back from attacking the woman he cares for despite his feral state, marks a profound shift in his character. Even at his most primal and wounded, something in him recognizes and protects Lily. When he collapses in a pool of blood on her floor, covered in acid burns with wings full of holes, Lily doesn't flee in horror. Instead, she tends his wounds, demonstrating her own transformation from someone who feared the supernatural to someone who embraces it, and him, completely. Their subsequent conversation reveals the full extent of Mist's enslavement. The magical bindings on his wrists, chest, and neck control him absolutely, explaining his obsession with rules and punishment. When Lily questions why he disobeyed in the first place, risking such severe consequences, he dismisses it as irrelevant, unable yet to admit that his feelings for her have become worth any punishment. When Lily stops him from leaving, Mist threatens to give in to his demonic urges, to hunt, bite, and taste her in his true form. His tail curling around her thigh demonstrates the physical manifestation of his possessiveness. Yet, when she releases him in surprise, he misinterprets her reaction as disgust, revealing his deep-seated belief that his true nature is unworthy of acceptance. This misunderstanding highlights the central conflict of their relationship. Can a human truly accept a demon's nature, and can a demon learn to see himself as worthy of such acceptance? Their journey toward answering these questions forms the emotional core of the novel's second half. The turning point in Mist and Lily's relationship comes when she realizes she should accept his true form just as he accepts her, glowing skin and all. When she asks him to shift into his demon form, he complies, despite his initial distrust, revealing his ashy gray skin, yellow eyes with vertical pupils, and his impressive wings and tail. Rather than recoiling from his inhuman features, Lily studies them with fascination, even complimenting his sharp teeth and claws, which he takes as high praise. This moment of complete acceptance transforms their relationship. For perhaps the first time in his existence, Mist is seen and desired for exactly what he is, not feared or valued merely for his abilities as a hunter. Their subsequent intimate encounter represents more than physical connection. It's the merging of two worlds. When Mist carries Lily effortlessly to the bedroom, something no human man could do with her curvy figure, she experiences a profound acceptance of her own body. In his arms, her self-consciousness about her size vanishes, replaced by the heady knowledge that this powerful being desires her exactly as she is. The possessive declaration, "You're mine," that passes between them signifies their mutual claiming of each other. For Mist, who has never possessed anything of his own, this connection represents his first true belonging. For Lily, who has always felt like an outsider, his complete acceptance allows her to embrace aspects of herself she's long denied, both her magical nature and her physical form. Their intimacy is interrupted by a vision, Mist hanging suspended by manacles over the pit in hell, with Paimon taunting him to return to her service. This psychic connection reveals the true danger they face. Paimon believes Belial is plotting to usurp Lucifer using a power source on Earth, twin witches born 27 years ago, whose coming was marked by a rare meteor shower. These twins, prophesied to become powerful enough to cause the downfall of a king of hell, were hidden by their mother's blood magic. 9 years ago, when the twins turned 18, the cloaking spell briefly failed, leading to their parents' death when Duke Valifor discovered and attacked their coven. With growing horror, Mist realizes Lily and Iris must be these prophesied twins, making them targets not just for Paimon, but potentially for Lucifer himself. This revelation transforms their romance from a personal journey of acceptance to a battle for survival with cosmic implications. The prophecy's revelation forces Lily to confront her sister about their hidden past. Iris finally admits the truth. Their parents' deaths weren't an accident, but were caused by a demon named Valifor. Their mother had explained everything to Iris before their 18th birthday, but kept Lily in the dark, a betrayal that cuts deep after 9 years of secrecy. This revelation creates a rift between the sisters just when unity is most needed. While they argue, Mist makes the ultimate sacrifice, drawing a hellgate with a lock sigil to return to hell alone, believing this will keep Lily safe from his doomed existence. His self-sacrifice proves futile when Lily, guided by her witchy intuition, follows him through the hellgate with Iris reluctantly in tow. Their journey through hell's tunnels leads to their capture by gargoyles, who reveal Paimon is torturing Mist before his execution in the pit. Their rescue comes from an unexpected source, a pale, white-haired demon named Murmur, the necromancer, who has made a deal with Belial to extract them from Paimon's lair. Following his directions through a tiny tunnel created by Goreth larvae, the sisters reach Mist suspended from hooks pierced through his wings and shoulders. This harrowing rescue mission demonstrates how far both sisters have come, Lily embracing her magical heritage and Iris overcoming her fear of demons to save her sister. Their teamwork in freeing Mist from his torture shows the beginning of their reconciliation and the power they possess when working together. The climactic confrontation with Paimon reveals the true extent of the Queen's cruelty and control. When she demonstrates her power over Mist through his brands, causing him pain with a mere gesture, Lily's protective instincts surge. In the chaos that follows, both Paimon and Lily fall into the pit with the Goraths. This descent into hell's most terrifying realm becomes Lily's baptism by fire. When one of the monsters devours Paimon, Lily witnesses firsthand the consequences of demonic power struggles. As the remaining Goroths turn toward her, Mist swoops down, rescuing her despite his damaged wings, proving that his love for her transcends his own survival instinct. Their narrow escape from the pit, crashing repeatedly into walls as his shredded wings barely keep them aloft, symbolizes their difficult path to freedom. When he wraps his body protectively around hers as they crash into the chamber wall, we see the ultimate expression of his transformation from solitary hunter to self-sacrificing protector. The novel's most profound transformation occurs after Paimon's defeat. When Lily reveals the brand that has appeared on her chest, Mist is stunned to learn that she has accidentally become his new mistress. With Paimon defeated, though not truly destroyed, inside the Goroth, the brand's transferred to Lily as the victor. While Lily tearfully apologizes, viewing this as another form of bondage for Mist, he experiences a profound realization. Being bound to Lily means true freedom. "I want to belong to you," he tells her, explaining that her ownership of the brands means he can be summoned if she's in danger, but he knows she would never use them to control him. This emotional breakthrough causes Mist to shed a single tear, something unprecedented in his existence. The brands that once represented his enslavement now symbolize his chosen connection to someone who values his freedom and autonomy. As they make love, Mist finally understands what love truly is. While initially hesitant to use the word, preferring to tell Lily, "You are everything good in my world, my freedom," he eventually recognizes the depth of his feelings. During their passionate union, his world narrows to just her, and he acknowledges that what he feels is indeed love, the greatest feeling in the world, in all the worlds, in all creation. This transformation completes Mist's journey from perfect hunter to perfect lover. The demon who once existed solely to track and punish now understands protection, sacrifice, and the freedom that comes from choosing to belong to someone who respects your autonomy. For Lily, the journey has been equally transformative. From a woman who denied her magical heritage and struggled with self-acceptance, she has become a powerful witch who embraced her abilities to save the one she loves. Her glowing skin, once a source of embarrassment, is now recognized as a protective shield that saved her in the pit, a gift rather than something to hide. As they plan their future together, including a visit to Elagos, a demon Mist secretly spared, they represent a new possibility. Demons and witches not as enemies but as allies and lovers, creating their own destiny outside the rigid hierarchies of hell. The epilogue hints at darker forces still at work. Valifor, Duke of Hell, rages over Paimon's fall, realizing he misinterpreted the prophecy. His determination to reclaim his former weapon, Mephistopheles, and his interest in the twin witches suggests their battles are far from over. But with their newfound strength, acceptance, and the bonds they've forged, Mist and Lily stand ready to face whatever comes next. Aurora Asher's My Demon Hunter transcends typical paranormal romance tropes by exploring profound questions about freedom, identity, and the transformative power of acceptance. Through Mist and Lily's journey, we witness how love can liberate even the most tightly bound souls, and how accepting our true nature, whether demon or witch, leads to authentic power. The novel's exploration of consent and autonomy proves particularly compelling. Mist's transition from a being controlled by magical brands to someone who chooses his bonds represents a powerful metaphor for healthy relationships. Similarly, Lily's journey from denying her heritage to embracing her power illustrates how self-acceptance precedes true connection with others. Perhaps most striking is how Asher subverts traditional notions of monsters and heroes. Mist, initially presented as the perfect demonic hunter, reveals depths of compassion and sacrifice that many humans lack. Meanwhile, supposedly good characters like Iris show prejudice and fear that nearly prevent the novel's happy resolution. This moral complexity extends to the novel's treatment of hell itself, depicted not as a simplistic realm of evil, but as a complex political landscape with its own rules, factions, and power struggles. By humanizing demons without diminishing their otherness, Asher creates antagonists with understandable motivations rather than cartoonish villains. As Mist and Lily find their happy ending, at least temporarily, readers are left with the tantalizing promise of more stories in this richly developed world. The brewing conflict with Valifor, the hinted romance between Mef and Iris, and the continuing mystery of the twins' prophesied power ensure that this universe will continue to captivate readers' imaginations long after the final page. In crafting this tale of a demon hunter who becomes hunted by love, Asher reminds us that the most profound transformations often come when we're brave enough to see beyond appearances and accept others and ourselves completely, darkness and light together.